Welcome back to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weisop, today with a bonus episode only for the supporters. Sorry, free feed losers, you're missing out today. Because today, we're doing a very important show. TMZ Illuminate Confirm. Your favorite. We're going to cover my Twin Peaks journey, an update, if you will. World War III with China. The TikTok ban. Some light symbolism at the Oscars. Alien drama, banks crashing, the satanic Rolling Loud concert, Lil Uzi Vert and Playboy Cardi worshiping the devil, Glorilla doing Illuminati blood sacrifice and getting Illuminate confirmed tattoos. We'll talk a little bit about lab leak theories coming true, and the big show, the big topic, your boy Donald Trump. That's right, he's back in the news, and he's manifesting sigil magic, magical energy, prior to his alleged arrest. And I'm going to explain to you why we could believe that. And then at the very end of the conclusion, I will talk to you about some future appearances I'll be making. And the next few shows you can expect right here on Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. It's a juicy banger today, folks. A juice banger. So let's start out with Twin Peaks real quick. And I'll keep this brief. I've watched all the seasons. I watched Fire Walk With Me, the movie. I'm now in the, spoiler-free zone. And I'm reading the books. I read The Diary of Laura Palmer. And now I'm reading The Secret History of Twin Peaks. And then I got to read The Final Dossier. And then I'll probably watch all the, extras. They've got extras. I mean, this is a very consuming operation, okay? As you know, I've tried to watch Twin Peaks many times. I could never make it past episode 2. I had all my... And if you followed me on Twitter, you'll know my journey was rough. I wanted to bail many times. But I held true. Because a lot of you out there were pushing me along. And I got to tell you. I'm all the way in. It's one of the most fascinating things I've ever consumed. And it screwed me up. I find myself wanting to watch a movie, and I'm just thinking about Twin Peaks. And I'm like, I'd rather watch Twin Peaks again than watch a brand new movie. What's wrong with me, right? But what I wanted to get across is, a lot of you were wondering if I was going to do a Twin Peaks episode, and I want to. I don't know how to approach this. First off, it's a massive topic, and second off, I want to do it some justice. And then third off, I know there's a lot of theories out there about it. I originally was going to watch a 4-hour video someone sent me about the Twin Peaks explanation of what's going on, because there's several of these out there, right? But then I thought, I don't know. I want to provide something unique. And oftentimes, I'd rather consume the media than think about it and try to come up with my own theory about what's going on. So I aim to do that. So I'm not consuming any theories. So don't, send me any theory stuff. Because I plan on coming up with a theory of some kind. Because I've got a few elements I'm trying to piece together. One major theme is sex magic. But let me finish. I mean, and don't hold your breath. This is going to be months down the road is what I'm saying. All right. Because there's a lot going on here. So there you go. There's your Twin Peaks update. I'm going to try to explore, come up with my own theory. Then I will consume the other theories and see if they add, elaborate, correct my own dumb thoughts. All right, let's get into it. World War III. Is it happening? They shot down, the Russians shot down a drone, an American drone, a Reaper, I think. And immediately I thought, is this the Gulf of Tonkin incident? Is this just like the false flag, which they admitted to in the 90s, some 30 years later, they said the Gulf of Tonkin incident wasn't really what they sold it to the American public as. They sold it as a way to get us into Vietnam because it wasn't a popular decision. Nobody wanted us in there. But Al Jazeera, they posted an article that I was reading, because sometimes you got to read the outside media sources. I don't know if Al Jazeera's, you know, I'm sure they've got their own bias, but all these billionaires, they own all the news. You know, you don't know which one to believe. So I thought, well, let's go outside of America for this one. And they're saying, oh, you know, the U.S. and Russia have conflicting stories about what really happened here. And the U.S. said, look, we had this Reaper drone. We were doing legal surveillance over the Black Sea. And these Russian fighter jets, they intercepted it and poured jet fuel on it and knocked it out of orbit or whatever. They hit one of the propellers, forcing it to crash. Which was confusing to me because I thought, well, if it hit the propeller on the drone, how did that not do any damage to the Russian fighter? Because the Russian fighter landed back in Russia. But then they released a video and they kind of show how it happened. And it's like, okay, well, maybe that did happen. Because Russia claims that it was in their airspace. And they were justified because the drone didn't have on its transponders. I don't know. Who knows, right? And Russia's like, we didn't mess with it. It just crashed on its own. Yeah, that's you see this video. It's like, clearly they messed with it. But the question is this why we pulled out of Afghanistan so hastily? Because they knew there was something in the works. And that something in the works would be, and hopefully it doesn't happen, World War III with Russia and China. You know, because China is a big threat, supposedly. Anytime I see it on 60 Minutes, I know something's in the works here. You know, every week it seems like they're posting something about Ukraine. That was last week. And then this week it was China. And highlighting them as a threat. Which, again, I'm not involved in any of this. I don't know. Maybe. I mean, people don't like America. They hate us because they ain't us. All right? So, like, it's true. There's threats out there that don't like us. Like, that's a fact. Which is why, in some ways, you look at all the money we spend on the military, and people, and it seems absurd. But a lot of people say, look, we got to be prepared to fight two major opponents because they're collaborating. And I am not justified to have a statement on what we should be doing or not doing here. I have no idea. But I do know there's a military-industrial complex. The question is, is it justified? Do we need that? I don't know. We sure spent a lot of money on it. And there's people out there that would claim that it's just a jobs program. And we don't need it. So speaking of China, let's talk about this TikTok ban real quick. Because in America and Canada and I think the European Union now, they've banned it on government phones. On government devices. Which I never understood. If my work gave me a cell phone, I wouldn't put any of my personal stuff on there. Are you kidding me? So they got something to hang over my head? And when they see I'm a creeper? You want your workplace known what you're into? But now there's talk about a straight-up ban on it nationwide. And it's a bipartisan thing which raises all the red flags. There's nothing bipartisan in America anymore. All right. It's a real problem. But there's talk about this. Joe Biden is threatening to ban it. He says, look, if the Chinese company ByteDance doesn't sell the American version or whatever, they're just going to ban it. And what I found interesting was that there was a clip surfaced during this whole conversation about a week ago of the CEO of TikTok at an interview, and their claim, and I think he's speaking in Chinese, so the translation is that, I think so, I don't remember now. Anyway, doesn't matter. Either way, the claim is being made that he's saying he doesn't even let his children use TikTok. And I feel like this is baiting us. I feel like this is all coordinated. You know? I'm going to guess, I'm going to take a wild guess, that lobbyists from Facebook / Instagram, you know, Zuckerberg, basically, who you see messing with the government, collaborating with the government all the time, always testifying and stuff. I'm going to guess they have lobbyists cozying up to try to push this ban. Because you recall, Instagram has their own little TikTok version called Reels, little short videos. And they used to pay creators who made those Reels. You know, like I think TikTok might do it too. I don't know. I don't sign up for those things because you got to have a, you know, an identification in there and they got to know who you are. And like, I don't want nothing to do with that. But Instagram just recently started removing the payment program for that those Reels videos. Why would they do that? Aren't they in competition with TikTok? Well, if they know something's coming that makes it so that they're not in competition, that would make sense. But the big threat that the news and the politicians are selling us is that the Chinese will have all of our data. They're doing privacy invasion. And of course, this is nonsense, right? The Chinese government can already buy that stuff. Google works with China. They make their own censored sort of search engine for China. You don't think they could just sell? I mean, Google and Facebook have all our data. They do sell it. It's already happening. So that doesn't really make sense. There's a dark web where you can buy and sell people's credit card numbers and steal their identities. So that's already there. They've been harvesting our data and selling it for years and years and years. But the truth that I think is that TikTok is somehow out of reach because it's, you know, owned by the Chinese government, basically. It's out of reach from our government's control. And when I say the government, I mean the oligarchy of corporations with the government, of course. So when they want to have push censorship, like, I'm trying to think what it was, the Hunter Biden laptop thing, they proved that the Twitter was involved in trying to silence the links to that right before the election. Excuse me. I am very sorry, folks. Look, I had a sinus infection. I didn't even know it for like 10 days. I was suffering, but now I'm getting over it. Where was I? Oh yeah. The censorship. Okay. Yeah. So it's out of control, right? Of the powers that be here in America. And that's what they don't like. And it's the newest social media. And you know how this goes. There's cycles. You know, it was MySpace for a while, then Facebook, then Instagram. Now it's TikTok. That's where all the young people are going because every social media devolves into partisan political bickering and it makes you not want to get on there anymore, right? That's all Twitter is. But isn't it just a little suspect, a little sus, for real, no cap, that both of these political parties unanimously push this through, this idea that they should ban it? And look, I get on TikTok all the time. Actually, I prefer it over the other ones. You get a lot of entertainment. And then people who say, oh, you want to watch a bunch of teenagers dancing? No, that's not what it is. I never get those videos, ever. Once the algorithm figures you out, of course, because it is spying on you. I'm sure it's listening to me right now. But once it figures you out, it serves up information. You know, you'll have some jokes. You'll have some funny animals. You'll get some information. And it's very valuable information sometimes. It's entertaining. It's really good. And oftentimes, I get a lot of Americans criticizing American policies, which I think is the problem, especially workplace policies. You know, because it's the younger generation, and they think a lot of our ideas about college and working your way up in the business place are kind of screwy, which I've said for a long time. Scott Galloway tweeted, in 1980, 7 of the 10 most valuable businesses in America were oil companies. Today, 7 of the top 10 profit... Oh, wait, sorry. Okay, 7 of the 10... In 1980, 7 of the 10 most valuable businesses were oil companies. Today, 7 of the 10 top 10 profits from converting attention... Oh, boy, what's he doing here? He's screwing me up. What he's saying is that... Today, the 7 of the top 10 profitable businesses are businesses that convert attention into profit. And what he's saying is the attention economy, they call it, right? Like you get on YouTube, you get on Netflix, you get on all these services. They have it automatically set so that when you're done watching the one video, here comes the next one. Here comes the next one. Here comes the next one. There's no break. It used to be you'd play the movie. It's over. It shuts down. It's like, okay, see ya. But now it's like, no, you got to stay here. That's why they call it the attention economy. That's why there's the scroll feed that never ends. You know, that's what Instagram does. That's what Facebook does. That's what Twitter does. And obviously, it's what TikTok does. It's in the attention economy. So as you can see, there's power. When Alex Jones called it the InfoWars, he knew what he was talking about. That's what it's all about today. And notice, one final point. Notice how they're completely not discussing the idea of writing legislation that would outright ban privacy invasion on all these apps and social media companies. Because they want to get into your privacy, the powers that be. They want to get in there. So they're not going to write legislation to ban it. Because they could just do that. They could say, you know what? None of these apps and companies should be spying on you. Let's just ban all of it. No, they're not saying that. They're saying, no, let's just ban this one that just so happens to be out of control of the powers that be here. And look, I'm not sympathetic to China. Like, I don't, like, if someone's going to steal my data, I'd rather be American companies, I guess. Like, none of them are any good. But if I had to pick one, the devil I would choose would be Google, I guess. Because I certainly don't trust the Chinese government. I mean, they've got the, what do they call it, the social credit score crap over there. We don't want that. All right, moving on. Oscars. There was lots of plugs prior to the show trying to remind us that there was the big slap moment, the most interesting thing that ever happened in the history of the Oscars. Because it's just pretentious celebrities and pretentious movies nobody's seen usually. And they're like, oh, don't miss out on the next slap. Bro, there ain't going to be no more slaps. That was a one and done deal. Congratulations, you found a way to get a ton of ratings. But what's interesting is that the timing, ritualistic, dare I say, of Chris Rock's stand-up performance on Netflix just prior to the Oscars. Because if you recall, back when the slap happened, there were claims that the whole thing was staged in order to draw attention and focus on alopecia, because Pfizer was working on a cure for it. So Netflix live streamed Chris Rock's new stand-up special where he actually addresses the slap at the end of it. I thought that was strange timing. But you watch the show and it's very uneventful. You know, Pinocchio, which is a movie we covered, Guillermo del Toro's Gnostic occult-laden film, also on Netflix, by the way, won Best Animated Film of the Year. I did a whole show on that, of course. You can listen to that. But what I did find interesting is that they changed the red carpet from red to champagne. For decades and decades, it was the red carpet. I mean, they own the phrase, roll out the red carpet. And all of a sudden, they changed it. And they said they just wanted to have a more luxe feel. What are you talking about? I don't believe that. I think red is the color of blood sacrifice. Well, I don't think that. I know that, right? And maybe the sort of blood sacrifice already happened. It happened last year by Chris Rock and Will Smith. They both took part of a humiliation ritual.
Okay.
And that period is now over. That was the final, sacrifice, I guess. In a way, I don't know. I'm just postulating here. Just throwing it out there. I thought it was weird. But that was about it for the Oscars. Oh, the Pentagon, they said there's a alien mothership out there. I'm going to read to you from militarytimes.com. It says, there's a possibility that extraterrestrial motherships and smaller probes may be visiting planets in our solar system, said the head of Pentagon's UAP research office. Quote, an artificial interstellar object could potentially be a parent craft that releases many small probes during its close passage to Earth, an operational construct not too dissimilar from NASA missions. This was Sean Kirkpatrick, the director of the Arrow office, All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office. They keep changing the acronym. And this was in a research report co-authored by Abraham Loeb, who's chairman of Harvard's astronomy department. Now, Abraham Loeb is also known as Avi Loeb. He was the guy back in 2017. Remember the Obama Mama? Stone rock, meteoroid, whatever you want to call it, asteroid out in space. It was this weird object, and it had a weird gravitational pull that didn't quite add up, apparently. And Avi Loeb said, hey, I think that was an alien probe. So they're continuing with that idea using the logic of what NASA does, is they send probes out, and they think, well, maybe that's what's going on here. Very Battlestar Galactica. And it turns out they're petitioning for more money for their office, for the Arrow, office there. Because apparently Joe Biden won't give them more funding or something like that. So much like the big UFO disclosure report we got a year or two ago, it was 9 pages. They basically say, yeah, there's a bunch of unknown stuff. We need more money. So stand by for alien disclosure, right? 2025 is when they said it would happen. We're getting close. Now the question is going to be, which kind of disclosure are we getting and who's telling the truth, right? Because a lot of people claim that all of this Pentagon military involvement into the UAPs and aliens and crap is all smokescreen. Let's see what else we got. Oh, the bank crash. Can't forget about the bank crash. Okay. Turns out the fiat currencies of America, not much more reliable than the cryptocurrencies. I don't know if you followed the crypto news, because look, you got to understand something. 6 companies own 90% of the media we consume. And when the stock market and the economy started faltering, cryptos fell with it. And I've been following it, and headlines galore from every news media on the planet. Oh, crypto's dead. Bitcoin's dead. No more. And I certainly don't understand the financial markets. I do know that the banks and the politicians don't like the crypto market because the banks don't like the crypto market, right? It's an alternative that they want to get rid of because, you know, money's pretty sweet for the banks. So they keep saying, oh, you know, with that, the FTX crypto exchange crash, they used the hell out of that. They said, oh my God, look, is this what you want to invest in? This is nonsense. Put it in a safe place like a bank. And they tried to just destroy the crypto market, which, by the way, right now is on fire. So hopefully you're using the Isaac Copy My Crypto James McMahon system. my links are always in the show notes on the free feed. I know you're on the supporter feed. You're like, what are you talking about? Well, I have a sponsor for Copy My Crypto. And James McMahon, he tells you what he buys. And I'm not a financial advisor, and I'm not giving financial advice. But check out the link on the free feed. Let me read it to you so you don't have to even associate with those free feed losers. Oh, it's disgusting. So if you go to copymycrypto.com/Isaac, ISAAC, you can get in there for $1. Okay. So anyway, a bank crashes, the 16th largest bank crashes. And of course, it's got to get political, right? Why not? The claim was that back when Trump was in, he deregulated the banking industry, which is a fact. Now the question is, did that deregulation support this, I don't know if it was risky behavior or whatever, did that contribute to this crash? I don't know. Probably, right? But I don't know. If we look at, and I like to look at, I think Tracy Twymer wrote a book about money and the alchemy behind it. And you can see how this is all a magical spell anyway. We talked about this on the Bitcoin show in 2017 and in my book. It's all magical spell. It's the whole idea of fiat currency is a construct of the mind. We all have to believe this same story for it to work. And that's one of the problems with TikTok is it starts poking, it's been poking more holes in the story. And to be fair to Trump, like to go back to this deregulation thing, it's not just a Trump thing, it's not just a conservative thing, although there are larger offenders of doing this. It's a lobbyist thing, okay? Our country allows this nonsense of lobbyists to influence the legislation and the politicians. If you remember when Obama was running, he said he was going to ban lobbyists, and that didn't work out because I'm sure he got in there and either he knew he was lying or he got in there and everyone around him was like, bro, don't mess this up, this gravy train. Because there's these revolving doors. People go and they work in big pharma or the bank industry. Then they'll go work as a politician and then back and forth, making sure they pass legislation for their cronies so they can keep greedily harvesting all the money, all the wealth of the country. Because if you look at the rates of income and wealth distribution over the last 100 years, in the past 20, the 1%ers have been hoarding all of it. And everyone below them is like, they're like, screw them. They're just getting rid of the middle class completely, which is part of the Great Reset. That's what they want. I'm very sorry, everybody. I'm going to make a note so I can... this cough is out of control I got, right? Okay. All right, let me mark that. And by the time you hear this, you're going to say, what are you talking about? I didn't hear nothing. Well, good, because I got rid of the cough. But yeah, that's why these politicians want to get into office, okay? It ain't for this $100,000 a year salary. That ain't nothing. You can't even buy eggs off $100,000 a year. They're not doing it for that. And recall that train derailment situation, right? And I don't know if that crash happened because Trump and the conservatives pushed all the deregulation on the brake safety systems of the trains. I don't know that. But again, probably. Like, that's what they do. The conservatives are like, get big government and all the systems out of the way so corporate America can just run unchecked. That's what they want. And sometimes they're in the right. Sometimes there's too much red tape. It's not entirely wrong. Sometimes the government gets it wrong. But I do know the corporations get it wrong a lot because they have one motive, and that's profit. And that profit comes at the expense of all of us, usually. I don't know what the right answer is. But I'm just saying that's what's going on. And the Democrats do it too, right? It's not a one-party thing. Because these lobbyists, they infiltrate both parties. If you look at the donations to each political party, you'll see, you know, big oil, big pharma, they donate to both parties a ton. But what was weird was that in Ohio, five environmentalists were in a plane right after this derailment happened to go to Ohio to investigate a metal factory that exploded and killed some people. Ohio's having a bad month in February. I'm going to read you from CNN. It says, five people who worked for an environmental response consulting firm were killed in a plane crash Wednesday in Little Rock, Arkansas. The plane was carrying employees of the Center for Toxicology and Environmental Health when it took off from Bill and Hillary Clinton National Airport in Little Rock around noon on Wednesday. So they took off from the Bill and... I didn't know there was a Bill and Hillary Clinton airport. But that's where they took off from. Is that the Clinton body count? I don't know. Time will tell, right? Moving on. The Rolling Loud concert happened. A lot of rap music at the Rolling Loud concert. And a woman went viral for... leaving the concert, she said Playboi Carti was performing and it was very satanic. The energy was in the air. Now, I watched it. You can watch the whole thing on YouTube. And it wasn't what I expected. I don't listen to Playboi Carti. I've heard his music, right? It's rap music usually. But there were white dudes on the stage stumbling all over themselves and lots of metal guitars. And he was screaming like it was... I don't know, some kind of 80s metal with flashing lights. So I guess he's turning into more of a metal artist or something like that. And everyone was, you know, head to toe in solid black. So there was lots of dark stuff going on here with this performance. And I believe her when she says the energy was almost satanic in a way, you know? But Lil Uzi Vert was also at Rolling Loud, right? And we've talked about him many times. His name, of course, means Lucifer. He worships Marilyn Manson, who is definitely into Satanism, or the Church of Satan, I should say. I know people want to split hairs, be like, well, they don't really believe in the devil, they're atheists or whatever. Okay, sounds good, but they might not believe in the devil, but the devil believes in these people, right? The devil's all right with them pushing this symbolism. You know, they could say all they want that they're atheists, but they're doing the devil's work. That's a fact. Okay? However you want to believe it. So Playboi Carti started out, and he was satanic. You know, he's had images of him inside of, like, bloody pentagrams and all this devil stuff lately. Lil Uzi Vert's been doing this for a long time. Okay? And he had a video that went viral, again, for being satanic at the Rolling Loud concert. He was doing that dance where I don't know if you can't see the video if you're listening to it, but it's the thing where they kind of like act like they're stabbing their torso. It's hard to explain, but well, that dance was popularized by a drill rap group who was making fun of how one of their opponents, this 14-year-old kid, got stabbed to death. So, I mean, if that's not satanic, I don't know what is. But it's a dance, and the kids do it. They think it's hilarious. Lil Uzi Vert did that, and you can see on the video, he's got on a pentagram belt, and there's crosses everywhere. Again, he'll sit there and tell you all day, oh, I don't worship the devil. Okay. Sounds good, buddy. And then he promoted, Lil Uzi Vert and Playboi Carti promoted this collaboration. And Lil Uzi said, me and my love are about to take over the world. And he had a photo of the Baphomet, the goat with the boobs. Appropriate symbolism, because it's the symbol for the Church of Satan. Popularized and illustrated by Eliphas Levi, a ritual magician. And it's got the Baphomet with the two little kids. All right. So he says they're about to take over the world. And again, who do you think this guy is serving? He may not believe in the devil, but he's serving him well enough. And recall a few years ago, he had a concert where he told his fans, he said, I'm literally taking you to hell with me. Let's go. You know, the stupid concert people. Oh, just out there mouth-breathing concert people. And I know a lot of you is probably mad about that, but I don't, you know, it's concert people. It's concert behavior is the most insane, idiotic thing you've ever seen. If you're not into concerts, I used to be, but if you're not into it and you open your eyes to like the nonsense behind them, you're like, oh, okay. Because there's a lot of energy at a concert. You feel it. That's why people like them. And I get it. I get it. But anyway, Lil Uzi also has a new song, and it says, the title is Make a City Girl Believe in Satan. And he's referring, because he's dating JT, who is one of the two girls in The City Girls, okay? So he said he's making his girlfriend believe in Satan. And, you know, TMZ even, because this is how you know hip-hop is dumb and over. Put a fork in it, it's done. It's so popularized and mainstreamed. TMZ has a section. You know, they'll have like celebrity news, sports ball news. Well, now they've got a hip hop news. All right. They got a hip hop news section. That and Offset and Cardi B have a McDonald's meal. I mean, this rap is so played out. And I'm a big hip hop guy. And if you recall last year, my struggle was saying, like, rap music is just so uninspiring lately. And maybe I just finally hit the age where it just wore off on me, and I'm like, this is crap. It's not good anymore. I mean, not all of it, but I used to be able to just listen to the hip-hop stations, like on Sirius, just play it all day long. There were some songs I didn't like, sure, but most of them were pretty good. But now, like, I don't know what it is. I just think it's played out, and it's not going to be popular in a couple years here because now it's so mainstreamed. McDonald's is promoting rappers. Like, get out of here. It's corny. It's like when punk rock goes popular. It's sad. It's a sad death. Where were we? Okay, so Uzi, TMZ asked, and I said, hey, why are you worshiping Satan? He says, I don't worship Satan. He says, it's all joke. But like I said, you can believe in all you want, but messing with this stuff, you're messing with energies and powers and things from another dimension, entities. I believe that wholeheartedly. Look at them 28 girls got hospitalized for playing with a Ouija board in Colombia. Messing with things you shouldn't be messing with. Glorilla, another rapper, she had some concert deaths. Some stampeding happened at her concert. Just like the Travis Scott thing, but no, almost no coverage. That's interesting. Stampede that happened at the concert after people thought they heard gunshots. And three young people died. Lots more injured. And I'm going to guess maybe that's why this isn't as popular or as covered as by the news as the Travis Scott one. NRA lobbyists, right? NRA's got some of the best lobbyists on the planet. Making sure the news keeps it quiet that it was about gunshots. But the venue has been shut down indefinitely in Rochester. They're like, oh, maybe the exits weren't set up the way they should have been. But what's weird is Glorilla just got a lot of allegations about her being in the Illuminati prior to these deaths. So just like Travis Scott, we can postulate blood sacrifice theory, okay? She's got a tattoo on her arm of the all-seeing eye with the vow of silence, all in one arm. Very Illuminati confirmed. The vow of silence, of course, the sign of Harpocrates. The initiates won't tell the secrets. Some rookie megastar, Luka Doncic, signed the largest rookie contract in NBA history, $200 million. And guess what tattoo he got to celebrate it? The all-seeing eye inside of a pyramid. But it's all just jokes and hoax, smoke and mirrors. And Glorilla, she was accused of being Illuminati confirmed, and she had an image on her Instagram of her covering one eye. I think it's still there. And she's again like, no. I mean, I can read you what she tweeted, but I can barely read it. I'll try. Without trying to sound racist, okay? I can't understand what she's saying. She's saying, baby, y'all need to be worried about that pussy y'all selling and not me eyes. Yeah, damn, I can't show my rings off. Y'all got to chill out with the delusional shit, she said. She has it blocked. Selling Rotel plates, but worried about me and my damn soul, TF. I don't know what Rotel plates are. A lot of layers of that. But long story short, she denies it, right? But she's getting all these tattoos and covering her eye. And now we got the blood sacrifice thing, just like Travis Scott. Because Travis Scott was employing a lot of satanic imagery at his concerts where 10 people died. Again, does he worship the devil? I don't know that. He pushes a lot of symbolism that suggests it. And then the events happen. Dark energies. Dark energies, folks. So Lil Uzi Vert, Playboi Carti, Glorilla, they're all pulling dark energy. And they're using it to get famous. It's the Faustian bargain on some level. All right, let's get into this Trump thing. Oh, the lab leak. Let's talk about the lab leak theory. We talked about this back in March of 2020, or April maybe. This lab leak theory, that the theory being that Fauci and the NIH funneled money over to the Wuhan lab to do gain-of-function testing, which is in a lab you artificially evolve a virus hundreds of years just to see what happens. Like, these nerds messing around with all this crazy stuff. It's Frankenstein stuff. Okay? And Obama, ironically, Obama's getting three shout-outs on this show. Obama banned the gain-of-function testing when he was in. And I'm sure Fauci cried about that because like, oh, I like to torture puppies too. Don't take that away from me. Fauci tortured puppies too, by the way. But anyway, we posted the lab leak thing, and then that's when, again, and look how this ties into the TikTok ban. You know, Facebook banned and Twitter banned all these people who talked about it. And that's the problem with TikTok. They can't just ban the stuff that they want to ban. I mean, China will ban it. China's not opposed to censorship. But the Newsweek posted a whole article clarifying about how it says COVID lab leak conspiracy theorists demand apologies. Right? Because a lot of conspiracy people out there are like, hey, we were talking about this for a long time. The lab leak theory that you evolved this virus. This COVID virus is an evolved gain-of-function testing virus that you leaked into the public. But then I tweeted, and it was snarky, right? When I get on Twitter, I get snarky. I'm very sorry. But I want to clarify something I tweeted. I tweeted some of these conspiracy, because that's the whole article is about conspiracy theorists demanding an apology. It's like, we were right the whole time, right? I tweeted, I said, some of these conspiracy theorists demanding apologies should also consider that they were also the theorists saying the COVID wasn't real, or that it was just the flu, or that it didn't show up on the PCRs, etc. So pick one, because you can't believe both at the same time. And what I'm saying, because a lot of people didn't like that, what I'm saying is that over the years, the last 3 years, lots of conspiracy people swearing up and down, these numbers are rigged, there's no such thing as COVID, the virus doesn't exist, it's actually just the flu. Well, that doesn't coincide with the theory that they artificially evolved through gain-of-function testing a virus in a lab. That's not just the regular flu, then, right? Follow the logic here. And that's what bothered me. That's why I tapped out on the COVID stuff. There's people that they're making their whole living off talking about COVID to this day, every day. COVID and vaccines, every day. Like, I tapped out immediately because I was like, okay, this is getting crazy. Whatever. I don't want to be involved with people's health. Who knows, right? I'm not saying they're wrong for pushing forward some of these ideas. I read the Carrie Mullis stuff. I've read the New York Times, Alex Berenstein's books. And it comes down to it, it's like, we don't really know. We're not given all the truths. We have no idea. And my whole beef was I leaned towards the idea that COVID was a real virus and it was evolved in a lab, okay? And I always said, you hear me on the mask show I did in 2020, I said, I just want people to be careful. Because if you ask, because I'm not one of these people that's like, no, it's just the regular influenza and they're lying about the thing and the tests don't work and they don't know what it is. And look, I don't understand all the testing sequences. I have no idea. All I was saying was like, I want people to be careful because I think it could have came from a lab. And the same people, and my beef is that a lot of people out there were saying the whole time, there's nothing to be scared of. It's totally normal. It's just the flu. Well, I've got friends that I CrossFit with that got it and they can't eat meat because it tastes like sewage. I got family members with the same situation. I got family members with long haul COVID. These are not side effects from regular influenza. This is some weird engineered thing. And wouldn't it make sense that they were trying to engineer a virus to make us feel ill towards eating meat? Because that's one of the great reset ideas. That's what the World Economic Forum wants. It's what Bill Gates wants, is us to eat lab meat. So it makes sense that this came from a lab. Right? So that, I don't know. That was my whole statement, was you can't do both. You can't sit here and say, oh, there's nothing to worry about. This is all fake news. There's no such thing as COVID. It's fake. It's just the influenza. You're totally fine. Nothing's going to happen to you. Get out there and live your best life. You can't say that and say, oh, this is some weird Frankenstein virus they made in a lab. They're two different things. They're two different theories. And that was my thing. So when they make a whole article saying conspiracy theorists demanding apologies, some of them should, but a lot of them were saying that it was nothing. And I was saying the whole time, I was like, I don't know. I got family members who caught this that screwed them up. I have friends that caught it that screwed them up. Anyway. Moving on, last but not least, if you're still with me, Trump. Oh, I know I'm going to lose a lot of fans. But hey, you know what? The truth hurts sometimes. I'm very sorry. I will try to tell you the truth as much as I can. Fair and balanced, they say. Speaking of which, I'm not a fan of Tucker Carlson. I'm sure that's no surprise. But I watched a video of him the other day, him and Ben Shapiro, and I was like, holy shit, Tucker's right. Tucker's right about some stuff. What was he talking about? I don't remember. But that's what I'm saying. It's like, I try not to stick to the partisan stuff, you know. I'm a socially liberal guy, but sometimes the Republicans get it right. They're not always wrong. Look at San Francisco and all these super liberal places in California. Like, they're way too liberal. Like, it's too much. This cancel culture stuff, that's a liberal thing. Well, no, the Republicans do it too. They cancel books, library books. Anyway, Trump. Let's talk about Trump. He's getting arrested, allegedly tomorrow, Tuesday, on March 21st. Now, that's an interesting date. That's when, and I'm not talking to you about whether it's justified or not. I don't care. Whatever. What I want to talk to you about is the numbering, the numerology, the ritual of the date, and how I think Trump is using this. The date on which he's supposed to get arrested is 3/21/23, which if you write that down is 3/21/23. It's a palindrome. Which, oh, by the way, this year, get ready for lots of gematria nerd news and numerology news, because there's a lot of mixtures of twos and threes. Which also, by the way, before I get into Trump, that the guy from Idaho, the guy that killed those kids in Idaho, Andy on Patreon pointed out to me that his house number, which they're tearing the house down now, the house number is 1122. Which, you know, that's interesting. Because 1122 is the day that JFK was killed. And if I looked it up to confirm that, and sure enough, it's on 1122 King Road. Which is interesting because, if you recall, the great James Selby Downard wrote about the killing of the King ritual and how claiming that the assassination of JFK was a ritual of killing of the King. So 1122 on King Road, killing of the King. A weird connection to be made there. Let's get back to Trump. The palindrome, right? 3/21/23. If you recall, Christopher Nolan had a film called Tenet. And Tenet is a palindrome too, and it's all about the Seder Square as part of the plot. And this gets into ritual magic, the magical rabbit hole. Okay, and shout out Spry Ute. He was talking to me about Tenet a couple years ago when I watched it. I never did a show about it, but anyways, Spry Ute was telling me, look into the Book of Abramelin. And I'm going to tell you about it right now. The Book of Abramelin is a magical text. And I've got a book by Lon Milo Duquette, Allow Me to Introduce Myself or something like that. It's about, it's got a picture of the Baphomet on the cover. But he lists it in that as one of the most essential books for any occultist. And the reason why is because Abramelin was an Egyptian magician. If you ever listened to the Jerky Boys in the 90s, they had a whole skit about the Egyptian magician. But Abramelin was an actual Egyptian magician who taught Kabbalistic magic to a guy named Abraham of Worms, referring to the place Worms in Germany. This is back in the 15th century, so old-timey, right? So Abraham of Worms writes this text about how he had traveled from Germany to Egypt to talk to Abramelin and learn these secrets of magic, and he was passing it on to his son. A very similar tale to Paulo Coelho's The Alchemist, by the way. But if you read it, the introduction is written by Samuel Marshall Mathers, because he translated the book in the 19th century and popularized it for folks like Aleister Crowley to read. And he describes it as such. He says, Book 1 is about the advice and the autobiography of Abramelin. Book 2 is about the means for obtaining magical powers. And Book 3 is about applying these powers to get actual results. And if you doubt these things actually work, if you refer to Nicholas Flamel a very famous alchemist, he was alleged to have accomplished what they call the Philosopher's Stone, the pursuit of immortality, the Stone of the Wise. He's in the Harry Potter story, Nicholas Flamel is. But Crowley, he used this ritual of Abramelin at Bolskene in Scotland at the Loch Ness in order to take control of demonic spirits. Because that's what it's all about. That's what the Book of Abramelin is about. Magical, Kabbalistic magic to control demonic spirits. And Crowley would later call for the oil of Abramelin in the Cakes of Light formula as the element of fire. Okay. Now, Book 3, where you apply the magic, it has a formula of a magic square, meaning the sum of each line will be the same. When you use numerology to equate the letters to the numbers. It's kind of like if you ever watch The Challenge, they do these puzzles where each line has to add up to a certain number and each diagonal as well. I took a class in college on number theory and linear algebra where you would set up numbers on matrices, right? Multiple matrices. And algebra is a mystical thing. It comes from the Middle East, Al-Jabr, right? That's where it comes from. A lot of the mystical thinking comes from the Middle East, from the Assassins and Sufism and stuff like that. It's where the Egyptian god Thoth taught them alchemy. It's where a lot of the stuff comes from. But in this book, it talks about making magical talismans to create these magical squares, basically infusing magic into these magical squares. And it becomes a mystical operation. Because you have to understand that words create reality. Even in the Bible, God uses the word to create. Abracadabra means, as I speak, I create. And Abramelin uses a version of the Seder square, the same one you see in Tenet. Similar, right? And Marshall Mathers here, not related to Eminem, describes it as such. He says, "For the third book of this work is crowded with Kabbalistic squares of letters, which are simply so many pentacles, and in which the names employed are the very factors which makes them of value. Among them, we find a form of the celebrated Seder Arepo Tenet Opera Rhodus, which is one of the pentacles in the Key of Solomon. Abraham's formula is slightly different and is to be used for obtaining the love of a maiden." So the square we're referring to is Salome, Arepo, Lemel, Opera, and Molus. Slightly different. But I say all that to say this. It's all about making the Book of Abramelin and these Seder squares is all about making contact with entities using magical formulas, drawing down powers in a magical ritual sense. Okay? Drawing down energies. That's what the rock diamond is for, the triangle of manifestation at these concerts, channeling the energy of the audience. And the book even talks about drawing down angels and infernals and elementals and demons, okay? Why do we care about any of that? Because I think it's possible, because Trump is buddies with Steve Bannon, right? Steve Bannon's into some of this stuff in a way with traditionalism. We talked about him several times over the years. Trump could be using this as a magical operation, saying, I'm going to get arrested on the palindrome day of 32123. All right. How exactly the mechanics work, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. It could be a magical operation just like Keck was. You remember how the 4-channers and 8-channers, they used this Keck frog god to channel energy into this dimension. And a lot of weird stuff happened. I did a couple shows on that as well. Back in, I think, 2016, we were talking about it. And Trump is using this. He's calling for his people, his MAGA crowd, to protest and put energy into this thing to fight it. Is he trying to use that energy to kickstart a presidential campaign, much like he did in 2015 or 16? Whether he knew it or not, or Steve Bannon was involved maybe, this Egyptian god of magic, Keck, was involved. And that was one strong allegation, is that he used magical powers. I don't know if he understood it or not, but the people that wanted him in office did. So maybe that's what we're looking at again, is another Keck-type magical ritual. So in conclusion, illuminate confirm everyone, okay? Everyone's illuminate confirm. You hear my voice is going out of me, so I gotta go. Real quick. Shows. I've got some shows coming up. The next couple shows you're gonna hear, hopefully, if nothing else crazy happens. I'm doing a film review of Idiocracy, so watch that. And I'm doing a film review of Return to Oz. That's right, we're going back into Wizard of Oz Part 4. No, Part 5. I think it's Part 5. We're talking about Return of Oz. And how it's full of MKUltra symbolism. It's crazy. So stay tuned for those. Plus, I'll be making a few appearances here coming soon. I'll be on Bledsoe Said So again. I'm doing Tinfoil Hat to reclaim my crown. My 12th show. I think I'm number one still. I don't know who's beating me on that. I'm doing Tinfoil Hat again. And I'm doing an appearance on a show, Kanye Post. It's a big show. I'm doing that too. So stay tuned for all of that. Subscribe on all the social medias to get updates and links for all that crap. Till next time. Oh, and thank you for being a supporter. This is a bonus show. I do one a month for you guys that the free feed losers never get to hear. So thank you for listening and supporting the show. Till next time, stay woke.